Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary defines journey as an act or instance of traveling from one place to another. As elders, we are inviting you to take part in a special journey. And our hope and prayer is that after the completion of this journey, you'll be in a different place walking closer with God. Grace was initiated with a thought of being a simple church. In fact, I read a book about simple church, not about programs, not about how big you get, but just the heart and the purposes of who you are. And God put upon Luann and I in the church assessment, church planters assessment program, a simple phrase for a mission statement, a place to love God, love people, serve in the community. It may be a simple phrase, but it's very difficult and challenging to live up to. And when you have a phrase like that, the enemy will come against you with whatever he can to take your mind off that and onto himself or onto yourself and to change those things. The mission statement was not for the sake of programs, but the purpose that if we don't look at it, we can be weakened or even lost in our purposes. Back in 2006, God impressed upon Luann and I to birth the church to have a fellowship without facades. And even though there are challenges in churches, remaining true to the call that God has given you, so that we might deepen not only our faith in Christ, but also to give opportunities to put that faith into practice. James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote, "Even so, faith, that if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." We have to put our faith into practice through works, which means making a difference in the community, making a difference in our environment around us. Sometimes that difference is simply a sign. I don't know if you know this as of late, but our sign will sometimes work and not work. Sometimes it'll be lit up and bright, but on Christmas Eve it'll be dark. And you kind of wonder, you want to go, Christmas Eve service, come on inside. People don't know you're around. So this last week we actually broke down and had a sign company come out and look at it. Something we haven't done in 8 years because we kind of did the sign ourselves, took it apart. Got in there, there's a picture of James inside the box itself as we're painting it, And got it done, and it looked fair enough bright. But after they got done with it this week, every time I walk by, I go, wow, that is bright. It was like you're being drawn to the light, And even Josh was making comment about that. Every time I walk by, he'd hear me in the hallway, he's in the office, going, wow, that is so bright. Maybe that'll make a difference of people seeing that we're even here. Maybe it'll draw their attention a little more than this dim box up there. But for 7 years, we've attempted to walk those simple steps. It takes saintly stamina to keep pace with what God is doing. It takes a heart that's turned towards Him each and every day. We think it's time to maybe pause where we are and pull out the roadmap that God's given us, His Word, and to participate with Growing with Grace and a simple 40-day journey. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time. We thank You for these that braved the weather today to come in fellowship with one another and, Father, to fellowship with You, to know that this is a special time as we gather together. And we know that there are many that are sick. We pray Your hand of healing upon them. We know that many are fearful of the roads. We ask that You would give them confidence and safety, and Lord, to impart Your heart upon them even right now. But for this time that we have with You, we ask for a special anointing that You might draw in and beside us and teach us in this time as we commit it to You in Christ's name. Amen. This is an invitation to a journey. This is day one, and you received, as you came in, probably this little booklet. This little booklet is going to be a week-to-week give-out. It's going to change. And I call it Growing with Grace, a 40-day journey with Pastor Gary, because these parts are parts of my life I'm sharing with you as we go through different aspects of this journey and growing closer to God. I remember a life that I had apart from the attentiveness to God. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy remembering, but it's a part of my life that has to be used in order to say I've been where many people have been. And sometimes even coming to church without really much of an excitement about it, but I did my duty and I punched my clock and moved on. But there is a point that things change. There's a point in our lives where we grow deeper. We should never be the same that we were last year or 2 years ago or 5 years ago. And if we're not changing, if we're not growing, then that's a problem in our own spiritual walk. And sometimes it's just not realizing that there's certain aspects that we need to have there to be encouraged in the journey. So we came up with this idea in talking to elders one night that maybe if we did a series of teaching about deepening our relationship with God. And I thought, well, you know, why not just take a journey and see as a path as we progress along. And you know, 30 is good because that's a month maybe, or maybe 28 because that's 4 weeks and you can do that. And the idea just 40 days. 40 came up my mind. And I think that God impressed upon that because 40 is significant. 40 is a day that they say that if you want a habit is formed or broken in 21 days. Now, many years ago, I made the foolish mistake of saying, I'm going to give up chocolate for 1 year. Remember that? And I did. I did not have a bite of chocolate for 365 days. On the day of breaking that fast of chocolate was the opening night of the cantata at the church that we were at. And there's always like a party with all the people from the church afterwards. And you would not believe the number of chocolate dishes that were out there that night, knowing that I was breaking my fast. 365 days did not deter my love of chocolate, and still continues to this day. And I'm very grateful for Schaefer's for Splenda and the sugar-free chocolate. So 21 wouldn't work, 40. But why 40? 40 is an important date. The number 40 is chosen because of the significance that it has in Scripture. And we see it numerous times talked about. In fact, 162 times in Scripture, depending on the translation that you have, the number 40 is significant. In almost every instant, the number relates to testing, trial, or probation. There is a time of testing, a time of cleansing, a time of proving, and it's significant. Here's a small sampling for you. God flooded the earth by having it rain for 40 days and 40 nights in Genesis chapter 7. 40 days and 40 nights of rain. I think that would just about destroy us today if we had that. It's hard enough with the dark clouds, you know, through the week, but that much rain? No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't. Even all the good sewer systems we have. Moses lived for 40 years in Egypt and then went for 40 years in the desert serving as a shepherd. And then God called him to take his people out of Egypt, and because they disobeyed and they messed up on God's plan, they wandered for 40 more years, 40, 120 years old when Moses died and not allowed to go in the promised land. The Israelites wandered under his direction and promise, but twice during the journey, God fellowshiped with Moses on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights in Exodus 24 and 34 while receiving God's laws. For 40 days, Jonah declared God's destruction of the city if they didn't repent. He didn't do it with a lot of enthusiasm because he wanted Nineveh destroyed. But for 40 days, after spending the time in the belly of a large fish, he did go and he preached. And lo, to his dismay, God relented because the city did change and repent. In the New Testament, Jesus was in the wilderness to fast and be tempted by the devil. And his ministry began after a period of 40 days and 40 nights out. Christ appears to his disciples and many others for 40 days after his resurrection and prior to his ascension back to the Father. So 40 is a pretty significant number. So we think that's a good number for us to use as well. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, as we look starting in the 23rd verse. Hebrews chapter 23. If you get into James, you've gone too far. Chapter 10, verse 23. I opened to 12, and so I automatically said 12. I am well trained. 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. How many of you have read this verse before in your studies along the way? Most all of us have. It's a good verse. It's a good, sometimes it's used as a point of guilt, you know, to draw people back. But there's a lot of strength in here for us to understand, you know, that gives us stamina in our walk. Let's break it down. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. The writer of Hebrews, because we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, writes hope, not despair. And without wavering, which means without bending. Let's do this without bending against what the world would call us to do or the things that we might be incited to do, because he who promised is faithful. He says, and let us consider, which means let's take note of this. Let's really understand this, how to stimulate. The word stimulate means to provoke, to stir up. Sometimes we think of it as a negative term, like we provoked them to anger. You know, we did something that's going to cause them. But this provoking is a stirring up for something else, a positive action, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking. Forsaking is the same thing that Jesus used. We said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Forsake means to leave behind. Don't leave behind our own assembling together, as is the habit of some. But encouraging. And that encouraging is to make an appeal to brothers and sisters in Christ to fellowship with one another. Make an appeal one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And what the writer is talking about is the second coming of Christ, which draws near and near each day that we live. And if you kind of doubt that, take a look at the signs. Take a look at the unrest in the world. The only thing that is sure is Christ. Even gas prices are not sure. How many of you are just amazed? And this, I don't believe in bad luck, so I'm not jinxing anything, you know, by saying, look at the gas prices. You know, I took some photos on my camera, you know, because it was a time down at Bristol Road Speedway. You got the price plus 10 cents off. And if you use a little blue fuel card, you get 3 cents more off. I did it for $1.62, and then I get depressed if it's $1.61 someplace. Down here, $1.60. It's crazy. There's nothing sure in the world. I remember paying $4 and more. You know, only God is sure. Only He is steadfast, and only He is the one that we can look to that is constant and consistent. And there are forms of life that can be live in relative isolation. A sea sponge, for instance, it fastens itself to the bottom of the sea and completes its life cycle there. You've seen those sponges, kind of like all the holes, and that actually was something that grew in the ocean and then harvested and sold for a lot of money in stores. Invest in a snorkel, I guess you can get your own. A lichen grows on the side of a rock, and although it spreads around slightly, it never moves from its original position. It's isolated. It stays where it is. It doesn't go out and grab friends and to the rock and say, come on over, we'll have a party. We'll rock and roll. I just thought of that. That's not even in my notes. But man isn't to be like that. Man was never created in that way. Man often loses much of his worth when he is in isolated, detached from people and the things about him. His power and usefulness come not in isolation, but through union and cooperation with others. That's why it's difficult for men to not have jobs when we go through transitions in lives. Our wives are equipped in a special and unique and beautiful way, but men, when we are between work or jobs, it's very hard because we have an innate desire to want to support and supply for our families. And when we can't, it weighs upon us. We need to be a part of that workforce. We need to have that union and cooperation with others. But in reality, no one can truly be valuable in God's eyes that isn't attached to Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's not about the world. It's all about Jesus Christ. Everything that takes place in the church is not about us. It's not about the pastors. It's not about the elders or deacons or even you. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the central focus in everything. In every discussion, every decision, everything that takes place, Christ has to be central. And if he's not, if you don't see it, then ask questions. Ask me. I'd be happy to talk with you and share that, because I see Christ in everything, even in difficult situations. I see his moving. I see his heart. And sometimes it's hard to act in those things that he's called us to act upon. But I still see them. I see his encouragement and his gentleness as well. Why are we not valuable in God's sight if we're not attached to Christ? Because we need him. We were created for a relationship, and that connection cannot be satisfied by anyone or anything else but Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we attach ourselves to Christ, by receiving him as Lord and Savior, confessing our sins, realizing we need a Savior, then God sees us differently. And if we don't do that, then we're lost. And we may be very we may make a lot of money on earth, but it won't matter to God when the time comes to stand before him at the great white throne judgment, something that believers in Christ never have to face. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. There's a special connection that we get when we turn our lives over to Christ, not only with Christ, but also with the Father as well. In 1 Corinthians 1, 9, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. As a church, every member of our body needs to be attached to the purposes of Christ if the church is going to be of any value. This is a part of that time to learn what those things are. This is a part of that process that God uses to draw us together, to bring us together as a body of Christ, to understand what he may have for us and the direction that he wants to take us. We need fellowship with other believers who are attached to Christ. There's something unique and special that happens when we gather together. A soldier fighting a battle by himself will very unlikely win the war. A man with a pick and a shovel, although very sturdy and have great desire, will not be able to dig a canal through Panama, which I guess they're going to now dig another canal through Panama because of all the big resort ships are going through. They need more passages through this stuff. I guarantee it won't be a man with a pick and a shovel. An isolated Christian would hardly be effective in trying to establish God's kingdom all by himself. But sadly, there are people in every community who are essentially Christian in spirit, but have nothing to do with the church. There should be a sign that we receive as Christians that says, warning, not good if detached. You've seen those on the pillows, you know. Sometimes you want to just tear them off and see if anyone is going to come. Is it legal to tear those tags off? But we're not good if we're detached from the body. We're not good if we're not attached from a fellowship that we're called to by God's word to invest ourselves, to know and be known, because we're given gifts that can only be used within the body of Christ. And they are not to even benefit ourselves. They are to benefit the body. And by not doing that, we're living a life less than what God has called us to. Jesus offers us fellowship with himself, but he looks for fellowship from us as well. He longed for the fellowship of his disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. Listen to what he said in Luke chapter 22, verse 15. And he said to them, meaning his apostles, this is at the Last Supper. He says, I have earnestly a desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He was anticipating, looking forward to this Passover because he knew it was going to be his last on earth. He desired to share that with them. That's why we celebrate the table, because it's that reminder of that fellowship with Christ just prior to what he did for us, the greatest sacrifice of all. He needed their fellowship to strengthen him for his conflict at the cross and for his coming trial that he was going to have. He asked for it us as well, something that's constant and continuous that he desires from us, fellowship. I just started rereading My Utmost for His Highest, you know, and I it's like I'm reading for the first time again. I love that, you know, and because it's such a great book. Oswald Chambers is so deep in his writings. It's not just because it's the King James Version. It's because his truth there that he understands is like, wow. It is such an inspiring book to read. If you've never, get a copy. They're like $5-6. But it's a daily thing that just as encourages you for a moment. We have a sense of his presence at the time of communion. That's good, but it's not enough for us. A wave of emotion, some service where we open our heart to Christ is good, but it's not enough. It doesn't end there. the act of dedicating ourselves to his service for his purposes is good, but still, that's not enough. Some people are deeply touched at services where missionaries come and share, but that passion is soon gone during the week as the world carries overwhelm them. And some people welcome Christ as a visitor for a weekend, but on Monday, well, they just kind of go back to their ordinary lives. Something, people, more is needed in our lives. And it has to be evident. It has to be demonstrated to get people excited about Christ. Our heart must be one that he can make a home in. It must be a contrite heart. It must be a cleansed heart. It must be a sensitive heart. It needs to be a heart that has a desire to gather together with others of the same spirit. I appreciate that you guys braved the weather today. As James and I were out there scraping the yellow lines so you'd know where you can park. A couple of you missed that, by the way. It's before the lines were exposed, so you're given some grace there. But, you know, I read this story about this town in Ireland that were having a drought. And the pastor of the town says, okay, we need to really pray this week, and then we come back together and we'll celebrate. And when the people came back the next week to the church, he came at the door and says, go home. Go home. We're not going to have any service. They said, well, pastor, we prayed. He said, yeah, but you didn't bring any umbrellas. Think about that. If you truly were praying for rain, you'd bring an umbrella with you if you think it's going to happen. We shovel the lines up there because we think the parking lot is going to be full. Doesn't matter if it doesn't get full. The heart intent is that you know that God's going to do something. And at least some of you park safely. Acts 2:42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Our constant mindset is the fellowship of the body. I would say this is more important than anything else that we do as far as actions go. Our families are important. Our spouses are important. Our kids are important. But if it's not centered in Christ, we've got it jumbled and out of order. Philippians 2:1, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete. By being of the same mind, maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. People, that won't happen if you isolate yourself. That won't happen if you spend time away from the fellowship, away from coming together and being a part of something greater than yourself that God has got planned. Even back in Isaiah chapter 66, starting verse 1, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? As if, where could you build one that you could contain me? And where is a place that I may rest? For my hand made all these things, and thus all these things came into being, declares the Lord. But listen to this. But to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit, and who trembles at my word. When we come under God's care, when we come with a humble and a contrite spirit, desiring to be fed and to be encouraged by him, there's a special thing that takes place. Because God can work with people like that. God can work with the humble, because then he can direct and he can lead. You know, when you have kids, one of the things that you want to do is having them a humble and contrite heart so that you can mold them and teach them. One of the things that we have to fight with the house is when he's cut off, when we're cut off and said, I know. No, you don't know, otherwise I wouldn't have to tell you. So listen to the entire instruction, you know. And it takes what? Because why? Because we want, when our kids go out into the world, that they won't tell a boss in the middle of instructions, I know. Well, I know where the door is. Why don't you go find that then? Pick up your paycheck later on. We have to teach, but we also have to be able to learn as well. Every single one of us, pastors included. The Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. Many of us did not start strong, or maybe we took a tumble along the way, but that doesn't matter. What matters is how we finish. And we can, no matter how we have tumbled or stumbled along the way, we can finish strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting verse 1. You, therefore, my son, this is Paul talking to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men. Take what I've taught you and teach others. that are faithful, who will be able to teach others also. That's the whole idea of our vision statement. We feed you so that you can learn to feed yourself, that you grow to feed others. That's the progression that we want to have. Don't just stay where you're being fed. Oh, I'm being so fed. But yeah, feed yourself. But then see yourself in such a light that you can grow to feed other people, because that's when churches can grow, because then you're not all in this first state, in the first stage that there is. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles themselves in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. There is a call that God has upon us, our lives, and he desires us to know that so that we can run the race well and finish well and finish strong. Which brings us back to our Hebrews passage. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here's what it says in the New Living Translation, that last verse. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near. You see, there's a warning that should go to people that are not fellowshipping in Christ. The warning is that we can become complacent. We can see this as not being important. Oh, it's just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. You know, I always, when people always say that, when Christians say that, the church is filled with hypocrites, I said, then be the difference. Be the one that's different, that sets the example. Because otherwise you're allowing them, the church, to be it. Rather than going in and being a positive force about it, you know, don't go in and clear house. Go in there and be a difference for Christ and make that influence, have that influence upon. Sunday is called the Lord's Day. It's called that day for a reason, because that's the day the Lord walked out of the tomb and out of the grave and conquered death. He has called us to fellowship with himself and with others of faith, and they did that in the first century. They gathered together on the Lord's Day. So do we. And there's nothing that replaces this time until we die and are with him forever. When we leave this earth, we have a fellowship with him that is glorious and it never ends. Until then, we're stuck here. But while we're here, we are called to make a difference. When you're not in church, and there are reasons not be in church. I appreciate the fact that Kale is sick and home and Jess stays home. When Josh is of the age now, when he's sick, that we can leave him behind and not turn on his computer and put his password in. So there's not much he can really do but to enjoy the sickness and recover from that. There are reasons. You know, I know that there are people who have moved from California do not really know how to drive in snow. I understand that. But there are other times that we just don't come that... Tired. I didn't sleep well last night. You know, even sometimes pastors feel that way, to be honest with you. But we also know that I'm going to miss something if I'm not here. And I, regardless of my infirmities or whatever it is, if you're sick, please do stay home, by the way. That's one thing we don't want to share in fellowship. But you know, sometimes the enemy will want you to stay back just because he doesn't want you to hear what's going on that day. I've already thought that I want to make DVD copies and send to people that didn't make it today so that they can be on the same page and start in with us as well. And because of that, yes, I'm going to send that too. So I made a bunch of copies. I made 60. Well, actually, I made more copies than that. I just miscounted on the copy machine when I pressed print. What things rob you of fellowship with the body of Christ? What's your mindset? Is it committed or convenient? And there was a life that I had, people, I'll tell you, that I was just convenient. If it wasn't convenient, I didn't go. The church I went to in Hollywood was 2 blocks away, but man, there are sometimes it just wasn't convenient to get up and walk those 2 blocks. Sad. I look upon this as missed opportunities. You may not even realize it in your own life too. And I'm not trying to guilt anyone. I'm trying to bring an awareness for us to get on this page with God. And I've been accused by people to keeping feet to the fire, perhaps, but it's only because I live there myself. And I want to encourage people to to not live the way that I did. These are, I believe, serious times that we live in. And it's going to get tougher and tougher for Christians. And there's nothing more serious than our walk with Christ and the fellowshipping with the body. Nothing. That's paramount because it helps us for the week ahead. Remember Jesus' word in Matthew 18, "For where two or three have gathered in together in my name, there I am in their midst." Okay, I'm going to wrap this up with this. Jesus is saying, telling us that this matters. This is important. And when we gather together in his name, we can anticipate something special is going to happen. So here's the day one challenge that we have. Day one that you got. Commit to making the effort to do the short little daily readings and finish each week strong by gathering together on Sundays at Grace. These are our just little, each little page thing is just one thing. You may have to write a couple words down, but you know there are room for notes. I just want to encourage you to think of things of God during the week. You may have your own devotion. I do my utmost for his highest, but even though I wrote this, I'm still going to do it myself. But each week there's going to have a separate continual devotion just to have a few moments. Step out with us each and every day. Not a huge time commitment, but I pray that it'll make a difference. And I believe that you'll find yourself more equipped when we get done for what's ahead. Each daily devotions help solidify the message that we give on Sunday and help prepare you for the message that comes ahead. Start strong, develop saintly stamina, and run the course with endurance. And here's three reasons why that we need this focus. One, we need to make a concerted effort because we have an enemy that does not want us to be here. We need to make a concerted effort that this and see this is important and so that we're having consistent fellowship. We have to fellowship with one another because that's what God's called us to do. That's what his word's called us to do. And there's other opportunities. There's the women's Bible study. We've got the small groups that are starting up, I think, this coming Friday at the Collins House and maybe next Sunday or so at the Check House. So there's two opportunities for other fellowship. And the reason we do this is to avoid complacency because there's consequences. Complacency and consequences. What's this? If we start not going to church, it's easier than to not go to church. It's easier to see it less as a priority. We've seen it in this church. We've seen it with people that show up only when they're on the schedule to serve. That's not a healthy thing. Some people have gone because they've had no connection with other people. And so they need to go where there's more people in their age group. Whatever reason, I never get worried about people leaving. That's okay as long as we're getting planted in someplace else because God's going to bring people our way. And he has. And for the journey ahead, day one, let's develop saintly stamina. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for the encouragement you give to us to walk with you. Father, that you would light our path each and every day and bring us back here on Sundays that we might fellowship one with another and be excited about what you're doing. Lord, I trust you with all my heart. And I choose not to lean on my own understanding, but all my ways commit to you that you'll make the path straight for myself, my wife, my family. Father, and I pray that for this church too, that we will see our lives in relationship to your Son, because he's everything. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.